Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 406th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 28 and 29 reads, "Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength, give to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering and come before him, O worship the Lord in beauty of holiness." So folks, today the title of the message is a question. Glorify God? Now, I'm dealing with this today because after last week's message about it being later than we all realize and seizing the moment for the glory of God, I got some pushback. Now, not from a listener, mind you, and believe me, that's what I expected, but from me, myself. Yeah, folks, the message bearer. Now, maybe you're wondering, well, what's that mean? You know, what are you talking about, Bro Ken? Well, last week was a tough week, folks. I'm telling you, all the way up to yesterday before we met with Becky and Bill for our time of fellowship. You know, I had to do several things last week that I'm not terribly fond of doing. Now, first and foremost, I had to terminate a key employee. And if you've never had to do something like that, then just believe me when I tell you, it's one of the most difficult things you'll ever do in your life. But on a more humorous note, although it wasn't funny when it was happening. Our new 10-month-old puppy, you know, I've talked about it before, our standard poodle, Joy, she woke us up at 2 a.m. on Monday night, or better yet, Tuesday morning. And I just want to tell you this story because now it's kind of funny, but at the time it wasn't. We're in deep in sleep. It's about 2 a.m. And all of a sudden we hear this terrible noise and this howling. I mean, screaming puppy. You know how that puppy has that yelp of terror? Well, what happened was the puppy sleeps down on the floor by the bed, and Terry's been anchoring the leash to the little lightweight portable crate that she has to go in and out of. And the puppy's developed this bad habit of jumping up and wanting to get into bed, and we've been doing everything we can to break it. And just remember that, because this is going to get kind of cool here. But anyways, so we're sleeping, and the puppy must have tried to jump up into bed. And she's a very skittish dog, so if there's any noise or anything behind her, she'll kind of get down on her hunches and start running. Well, I think when she tried to jump up into bed, she pulled the crate, and she heard that noise. So she started to run, and she ran out of the bedroom, into the living room, and the crate's chasing after her. So in the process, she starts screaming that puppy scream that they do. And remember, this isn't a little puppy anymore. This is a 40, 42-pound dog. This is a standard poodle. They get big. And she's running through our living room with this portable, lightweight, collapsible crate chasing after her. And in the process, she's so scared that she starts to pee herself. So as she's running across our living room on the hardwood floor, she's dribbling pee the whole way. And then it gets so bad that she loses control of her bowels, and she starts dropping little turds all over our living room floor. So we get up, and by that time she's on the couch with this crate hanging over the back of the couch, and she's yelping and crying, and I unleash her, and I see all the mess, and I'm like, oh, dear Lord, and we just start cleaning up. So just picture that. You're out of a deep sleep. You're cleaning up a mess that a puppy made, knocking things over and all of her accidents. Which, by the way, she's housebroken and she's not doing any of that anymore. So I had to do that Tuesday night. And then we were preparing to terminate this guy on Tuesday and ended up doing it Wednesday. But so I had that on my mind and all these things were going on. And it was kind of strange. But I just want to tell you, puppy's not jumping up into bed anymore. So there was a blessing in this very strange environment. And I got to be honest with you folks, through this process this week of terminating a key employee and picking up the mess after the puppy had this episode, I wasn't glorifying God very much. And then yesterday at the plant, I can add, we had a very difficult week just with different things in terms of the termination and reassignments, and then just some efficiencies in one of the departments, and just all the different things that happened with the plant. I wasn't doing a very good job of glorifying God. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't. So while I was praying, I said, you know, God, it's good to say glorify you in all that I think, say, and do, but really? So I was praying that. And, you know, you really want me to glorify you even when I'm cleaning up after Hope and letting go of a key employee? Really? So I'm praying like that. I don't know if you ever do that. You know, you just get down and share with God. He already knows what's on your heart, so articulate it. Get it out there. So I'm like, really, Lord? Really? And all I heard back in my heart of hearts from that sarcastic and rather irreverent prayer was, yes, really. And then I thought, well, maybe I just don't know what glorifying God really means. Maybe I don't. So what I did is I started to look around. I did some research, and I found a good article over on this website called seedbed.com. And here's what they essentially had to say, and I just want to kind of go through the bullet points with you. I kind of took their article and just put some bullet points down. But, you know, they mentioned in Hebrew the word kabod is the word for glory. And in Greek, it's doxazo. Now, I knew all that. I've studied these things. And there's two different aspects to this word. Okay? First off, glorify means to shine or demonstrate or manifest. Okay? So God will just reveal his glory through a healing, perhaps like he did with Terry, or some other miracle, or some revelation. Okay? That's just that manifestation of his divine attributes. Okay? So that glory, that term glory represents his presence. And of course, you know, we see examples of that all through the Bible. And then there's a second aspect to this word glory, and it means to reflect, to bring forth, to demonstrate, to show, to express an image or an object, okay, or a person to others that's not seen by them, okay? So this means to add something to another's character, okay, that in and of itself isn't there. Isn't that what we're supposed to do when we reflect Christ, okay, when we are to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ? That's what we talked about last week. Well, in the New Testament, this word doxazo, that means to signify, extol, or ascribe to, okay? And we're supposed to do that to Christ, okay? So there's supposed to be external manifestation, so to speak, going on, okay? And that's how it's used in the New Testament most of the times when the writers say, glorify God, okay? Means to reflect Christ's glory, okay? His radiance, his light, surrender to him, okay? And allow Jesus to be reflected in you and me. Well, just imagine trying to surrender to him when you're picking up the mess that your puppy made at 2 a.m. when you're waking suddenly out of a deep sleep and you don't know whether somebody broke into the house or the house has fallen down or the puppy just had some sort of major medical event. Okay? You're supposed to be glorifying God. Or how about when you have to do something very difficult, like terminate that employee? Yet we're supposed to allow his actions and his character and his very being to be reflected in us even in these times. And we do that through obedience and surrender to God. Now, I get all that, okay? It's pretty basic. So why did I have this pushback in myself this week? Well, I think the key is found in that verse that I opened up with. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. So you may be saying, well, I don't get it. I don't get it, Ken. What are you talking about? Well, right there, God's telling us that he expects us to do two things, okay, in this concept of glorifying him. First off, we're supposed to ascribe. That's what the scripture said. Or give glory to him. Why? Because it's due. He deserves it. No one else in the entire universe, in all of reality, here in the spiritual realm, deserves the praise and worship that we ought to be given him. Now, this is confirmed, okay, over in Isaiah. Where is it? Isaiah 42, verse 8. And it reads, I am the Lord. That is my name. And I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. And then secondly, we're to bring an offering to God. That's part of the worship that we're to do continually that glorifies him. So then, just what is the offering that we ought to be bringing to him? Well, the offering we bring God as we come before him and glorify him in all of his awesomeness, in his holiness, it involves our agreement, our obedience, our surrender, our complete and absolute submission to him and his word. And we do that as we remind ourselves continually of how awesome he is, okay? He truly is. And just allow him to be reflected through our total surrender, despite the circumstances we're in, despite the fact that we're having to let a key employee go, despite the fact that we're having to pick up after the puppy at 2 a.m. when we really need a rest because the alarm's going to be going off at 4:30. We have to continually remind ourselves, he's awesome, okay? Everything about him is beyond compare. So glorifying God begins with agreeing with everything he says in his word, especially about who he is. In Isaiah 42, verse 5, listen to this. God says, I'm the Lord God. I created the heavens like an open tent above. I made the earth and everything that grows on it. I am the source of life for all who live on this earth. So listen to what I say. So because of who he is, and he's holy, he's perfect, he's true. And we know that, folks, because it says so in his word. So all that he says in his word, the Logos, from his proclamations to his laws to his promises, are holy, perfect, and true. And I didn't say that. The psalmist said it in Psalm 19, verse 7. Read it for yourself, folks. It's right there. So because his word reflects him, we ought to be in agreement with his word. So to glorify him, you start by listening to and agreeing with his word. You see, the Bible is his love letter to you and me. It's all that we need for our life in him. Remember, I've told you before, Bible means B-I-B-L-E. I love acronyms. I love acrostics. And this one means basic instructions before leaving earth. But I'll tell you, just listening to and agreeing with God, that won't glorify him unless we also submit to him. And we've got to obey the commands we found in his word. So if you're reading along and it says, love one another, and then you go out and do everything contrary to what you just read, forget it. You ain't going to glorify him. The Bible says, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. That's Psalm 103, verses 17 and 18. And folks, I tried to get most of these scriptures up on the screen today. So if you're following along and you miss one of these, just go up to the screen and you'll find these, okay? Now, Jesus reinforced this truth, that glorifying and loving God are one and the same, when he said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. So we got to hear it, and then we got to do it. And remember I talked last week about Tiger Woods. Whatever you may think about his personal life, he's one of the most incredible golfers of all time. And that's why I respect him. Not for the sick things he did sexually and not for all of his perversions with women and how he defiled his marriage. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the man who is the golfer. Now remember, he had to practice that. He literally hit tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of shots. So we got to practice the same thing. So we glorify God by practicing his attributes and doing his deeds. And when do you think the toughest time for Tiger Woods was? On some practice green when it was sunny and nobody was around and there was nothing on the line? Or when he's on the 18th hole of the Masters and he has to make that chip shot and single putt to win the tournament? Of course, when the pressure is on. Just think about the first martyr, Stephen, okay? In the final words he spoke, call it a sermon if you want, because it was, when he was martyred for his faith, he retold the story, the entire story of God's dealings, everything that God did from the time of Abram, I should say his dealings with Israel, really, from the times of Abram when he was ordered and he left his country in obedience to God's command, all the way to the coming of Jesus Christ, the righteous one who Israel betrayed and eventually murdered. Just think about that, okay? Here's Stephen in the toughest time of his life. And St. Paul's over there holding the jackets of everybody that's stoning this guy to death. And what's Stephen doing? He's not saying, ouch, that hurts, look out, oh, don't kill me. No. He's going through and recounting every one of God's attributes. So when I was picking up that mess that the puppy made, I should have just been saying, you are awesome, you are powerful, you are all-present, all-knowing, all-loving. You can move a mountain into the sea. You've given me that faith to do the same thing. And you should just continue to extol those attributes of God. You should continue to praise him. And what happens is something supernaturally changes. You see, when we tell of God's work in our lives, how he saved us from sin, how awesome he is, how his works have just changed our hearts and minds. And when we do this continually, okay, we're glorifying him before others. But more importantly, there's something going on in our life. And what that is that our mind is being transformed. It's being renewed. Okay, it's no longer conforming to the world, but it's being transformed in Christ Jesus. And then we begin to know his good, acceptable, and perfect will for our lives. Okay? So that's why that's so important to do in the tough times. Even though other folks don't always want to hear it, okay? They'll start to call you crazy. I'm telling you, when you do it, he's pleased by it. So it doesn't really matter what other people think. You know what I'm saying? Think about that crowd who heard Stephen, who they hated, okay? Talking all about the qualities and the attributes of our Almighty God, okay? And everything he did from the time of Abram up to when they crucified our Lord. They were covering their ears. They rushed up to him. They stoned him. It says they bit him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Acts 7:55. So he never let go. He never let go of what we are all to do in the difficult times. And that's to cast our vision, our mind, our thoughts, surrender it all to Jesus. So to glorify God is to praise his attributes, you know, his holiness, his faithfulness, his mercy, his grace, his love, his majesty. I mean, folks, just reading through a list here like this, his sovereignty, his power, and his omniscience. When you do that, that's just naming a few. I mean, come on, we can go through all the qualities of God, do a whole study on that, and probably do a whole series on it. When you start to do that, what problem is going to overwhelm you? What problem is going to blow your mind away? What problem is going to stop you? You can't be. You're unstoppable. Praise the Lord. So we ought to continually repeat them over and over in our minds, just like Tiger Woods practicing that chip shot over and over and over. You need to practice it until it becomes muscle memory, so to speak. So it becomes spirit memory. And we just do it over and over. And then when the tough stuff starts, like what I went through this week, like cleaning up after that puppy or terminating a key employee or going through the tough stuff at the plant, it's just automatic. It's second nature. And then what happens is in the midst of it all, you're saying, hey, did I tell you about my Jesus? Did I tell you about this incredible gift he's given us each? All you have to do is accept it. All you have to do is surrender to him. And then they look at you and they think you're crazy, but you're glorifying God and something supernatural happens, folks. But to be honest with you, that wasn't what was nagging me this week when I cried out to God. I mean, I kind of know all these things. I've shared them with you in messages over the years. So what was it? What was causing me to cry out to God almost irreverently? I'm supposed to glorify you in the midst of all this? Well, this is a compelling truth, folks. And that's basically when I was going through this kind of research and all this, that's where I found it, on a website called Compelling Truth. And it convicted me. And I'd like to just share a couple of these things with you because I think it's really important. You see, we all know that to glorify God means to bestow honor and praise and admiration upon him because he deserves it. In every situation. I mean, I just went through all that, and that's basic Bible 101, okay? But why wasn't I feeling it this week at 2 a.m. while cleaning up that mess that the puppy made, or sitting there in the conference room terminating that young man that had so much potential? And boy, folks, I don't even want to get into that because it hurts. But why wasn't I doing that? Well, sadly, I think the reason was that we all tend to glorify other people and even stuff more than God. And I know I was guilty of that this week. Just think about it, okay? Maybe you're into sports and you got your famous football player. Maybe you're into sports and you're into the Steelers and it's Ben Roethlisberger, okay? And, you know, he's got incredible talents as a quarterback. And he's got all kinds of championships and two Super Bowls, and maybe you're into that. Or maybe you're into music, and you've got a pop star, okay? Or the movies, and there's a movie star. Think about the people who go hysterical at the red carpet events. You know what I'm talking about? They get fanatic over people. In fact, that's where the word fan comes from, fanatic. You know, the masses even tend to glorify these creepy politicians, you know, at these rallies. You see what they do. It's kind of sad, isn't it? But then how often are we disappointed by these human objects of glory? And maybe it's not a person. Maybe it's a thing. You know, maybe it's that car you wanted to have. Okay. And then it breaks down, or that movie star that you've just idolized, and you find out they cheated on their spouse, or that perverted politician that lied when he got your vote and he got into office. So why? Why do we do that? Why do I do that? Before this all happened this week, things are starting to go pretty good in my life. And I think what happens is, in the good times, you tend to move away from God. You say, I got this one, God. I don't need you. I don't need to be continually praising you. I don't need to be continually extolling your virtues. I don't need to be continually reflecting your character to others. And then that's when the slippery slope begins. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that we've exchanged the glory of the incorruptible and immortal God for the glory of corruptible and mortal man. Now, a lot of people right away say, oh, that's those perverts. They're marching in all these parades and stuff. And, you know, I used to take that position, and I don't know if I can say that exclusively anymore. I think I'm guilty of it. So instead of glorifying God, the fountain of living water, as he referred to himself, we end up glorifying the broken cisterns of men. And that's what Jeremiah talked about in chapter 2, verse 13. But I'm telling you, only God is worthy of our glory. Only God is, folks. So what we have to do is continually remind ourselves of that. You know, man's sinful, but God is holy. In Romans chapter 3, verses 23, and Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, both remind us of that. And I'm not going to read all these verses today. Maybe I should. But I just want to keep flowing with the thoughts that are in my mind. So they're there up on the screen for you to read. You can look them up for yourself. And I just think that we tend to get caught up in ourselves and stuff and others instead of God. You know, we're limited in our power, but God's eternal, okay? He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. We see that all through the Bible. Read it for yourself in Psalm 8, verse 4, 1 Peter 1, verse 24, Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, Job chapter 37. There's a whole section there from verse 14 through 24. You know, basically, Bill and I were talking about that last night. And folks, we had an adventure last night. We went out to eat. We were supposed to go out and have a really nice evening, go bowling, play some miniature golf, fellowship, share the word. And that's what we've been doing since we closed Sozo's. We were going to go to Outback. One of the regulars at Sozo's gave us a thank you card with a gift certificate to the Outback. So we were going to go there. And then I had a really tough day at the plant. So we ended up just getting together a little family restaurant. And then we went to McDonald's for coffee, and Terry and Becky were going to play a couple games, and Bill and I like to fellowship. So we were sitting out on the patio at McDonald's when this guy had some kind of drug episode. We're sitting there, and this whole thing's happening, okay, right before our eyes. You ever see those videos where those guys are on bath salts? Well, that's what happened. So we told the manager, they called 911. Police departments from three local municipalities came. The EMTs came. They ended up taking this guy away. But he looked like one of those videos you see on YouTube. Absolutely crazy. So anyways, Bill was talking about Job in chapter 37. And it was kind of funny because I knew I was going to talk about this. And this happens. And when this happens, I see that as confirmation. But anyways, Bill said, after Job's been through all that, near the end of the book, what's he say to Job? What's God say to Job? Man up, Job. And that's what we all need to do, man up. You know, where man will lie to us and let us down, God's always trustworthy, folks. He's faithful to his promises. So when Job was hearing all that woe is me stuff from his friends, and his wife was telling him to curse God and kill himself, God was saying, remember, I told you in my word. So man up. God's trustworthy. He's faithful. He will not turn against his promises. Yet what's Madison Avenue promise us? They promise us when you buy that new car, look out. All your problems are going to be over. When you get that new girlfriend, look out. All your problems are going to be over. And what is that? It's nothing but lies. And what's it do? It lets us down. So the reason to glorify God, I should say reasons, are as infinite as he is himself. They're so much bigger than our circumstances, so much bigger than cleaning a mess up at 2 a.m., so much bigger than letting someone go, so much bigger than dealing with headaches at the plant. They are. But not only do we have to allow that image of God to be reflected in us as part of the glorification, okay? We can't add anything to it, okay? So it has to be exactly as God expresses it in the Word. We can't say, oh, it's Jesus and this, or it's Jesus and that. No, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. And you can see that if you read Isaiah 48, verse 11, and Acts 17, 25. So it's for our good that he gives us these commands and then tells us to obey them. And when we obey them, we glorify him. But not only by living in this light life and love of Jesus are we glorifying him, but that's the only way we're truly going to be holy and happy. Paul told Timothy that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, and he tells the Philippians that over in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. So God's glory is most clearly expressed in you and me. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is most truly expressed. You know, the fact that he came, became man, humbled himself, died for our sins, went up to heaven, sent us the Holy Spirit, and then says, I live in you. It's most truly expressed, okay, as Hebrews says in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He is the radiance, the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So what I'm trying to say, folks, is that when we're doing this and we don't add anything to it and we don't take anything away from it, we are allowing ourselves to become a mirror. Like the moon reflects the glory of the sun, we then reflect the glory of Jesus. But there can't be anything else there. There can't be any leaven, okay? And I've been praying about leaven. And I think maybe we ought to talk about leaven next week, okay? But you can't add anything to it because when you do, it puffs you up. Okay? And leaven's not good. So, there's more, though, okay? Not only is Jesus the radiance of God's glory, okay? But he's also the perfect example of how you and me ought to be living. You know, everything Jesus did here on earth, he did through total surrender to God. Although he was God, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped for. So what he did is he humbled himself and he surrendered. He subordinated himself to the Father and he showed us the way. So how did Jesus glorify God? Well, I'm just going to list a couple things he did, things that you and me can do, okay? In those tough times, like when you're cleaning up a mess that the puppy made or you're doing your version of letting a key employee go, okay? He believed and trusted in God the Father. Matthew chapter 27, verse 43. He submitted his will to the Father's will and obeyed the Father in all things. John chapter 5, verse 30 and Luke chapter 22, verse 42. And Jesus declared the soon arrival of the kingdom of God, and all he did worked towards that achievement. Everything he did. Read that, folks. It's in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through, what, about 15 or 16? And you can read it again over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And I'm reading through the parables right now. And that's what got me thinking about leaven and what leaven does in our lives. So if you say Jesus and this or Jesus and that, that's like adding leaven. However, Jesus is so much more and just an example to follow. And when people leave it at that, they're leaving so much on the table. In fact, something more important, okay, and more fundamental in you and me glorifying God is believing and declaring that He is the Messiah. Not only the Son of God, but God the Son. He is God Himself. No, without believing that Jesus is God, you can't even begin to glorify God. Chapter 4 of John, verse 34, and John 14, verse 6 tell us that. So, we claim to know God, okay? Yet we don't declare Jesus as Lord. We can't glorify God. And there are a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, yet they deny that Jesus is God. So they really can't glorify God. And finally, I want to wrap it up with this, okay? If we're going to truly glorify God, we got to study His Word. And then we got to do what it says. We got to obey it. Everything that Christ commanded us to do. Not just what we pick and choose to do, but everything. Like, praise Him always in all things. That's what I didn't do this week. You know, Jesus told His disciples in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. So when we do that, folks, when we glorify Him in all, by reminding ourselves in the difficult times how awesome He is, and by sharing that with others in the midst of our difficulties, we're glorifying God. And that's what I learned this week about glorifying God. Even when we're doing the tough stuff during our normal routine weeks, okay? You know that old cliche, life's not about the journey, okay? Life's not about the destination, it's about the journey. That really rings true. So stop thinking about the destination, okay? Of course we're going to heaven, okay? And of course we're going to be with Jesus for all eternity. And of course the road's rocky now. But remember where the road's taking you. The road's taking you to Jesus. So start seizing the moment as we live, love, and laugh for Jesus. Folks, I do love y'all, but more importantly, Jesus loves you more than I could ever love you. So start living and loving for Him, okay? As we surrender to His Word and reflect His glory through His light, life, and love that we can share with others. So I love y'all, and I'm just encouraging you this week to go out there, okay? And live for Him. And provided the Lord's willing, and we're still on this journey next week, I'll be back with another message from His love letter, the Bible. So let's lift our hands up with Mercy Me and Only Imagine. I love y'all.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever. is forever. Forever worship you. I can only imagine.